Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Trey Carey, the lead pastor of Modern Worship. We hope this week's message connects with you and helps you connect with God. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBoro. We also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, both in the sanctuary and in the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the idea of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. We hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life.
This morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Hear the word of the Lord. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own language being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and all of the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." This is the word of God for us today. You may be seated.
Thank you, Chrislyn. So about 10 years ago, I was asked to speak at a youth retreat for a friend of mine that was a youth pastor way up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he told me to bring two things. The first thing was a coat, which I realized when I got there, what I had brought was a light jacket that I thought was a coat, and I was cold the whole weekend. But the second thing that he told me to bring was, that he asked me to bring, was my guitar. He said, "I want you to come speak at this youth retreat, but also want you to lead worship, so bring your guitar." And so so the two things I had when I got off the plane in Minneapolis was my bag full of clothes and my guitar case that had my guitar in it. And so I walked outside and I stood at the curb and waited in the cold with my light jacket on for my friend to come pick me up. And as I was standing there waiting for him to come get me, this gentleman walked over and stood next to me. And he looked and smiled and he said something to me. And I had no idea what it was that he said. And so I just kind of stood there a minute just with this kind of puzzled look on my face. And he said it again. And again, I had no idea what he said. And so I said, "Excuse me?" And then the third time, I understood what he said. And this will be my best Minnesota accent. What he was saying to me was, "What kind of guitar you totin'?" To which I replied, "Oh, it's a Martin DCE-1. And then the same look that I had given him, he gave back to me. So I thought, well, maybe he just doesn't know the terminology of guitars. And so I said, "Well, sir, it's an acoustic electric guitar made by a company named Martin." And I guess maybe I was sharing that information with him in my best Tennessee voice, because he smiled and he said, "Oh, you must be from the Southeast." We were speaking the same language, but the message was getting lost in translation. Any of you that's ever seen the TV show Swamp People, anybody seen Swamp People before? If you've ever seen that show, you know that you can be speaking the same language, but the message gets lost in translation. It's what I love about it. It's the folks on it are speaking in English, but there are English subtitles underneath it as well. So the title of my sermon this morning is Lost and Found in Translation. And there's a message in there from this story that Chrislyn just read for us this morning. Sometimes we can be speaking the same language, but the message gets lost in translation. There are three statements that I want to make to you this morning that have to do with this story that Chrislyn just read and this story of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Three statements I want to make for you, and they're these. The power of the gospel frequently gets lost in translation. Number two is this: the power of the gospel is ultimately found in translation. And number three, the purpose of the church is to relationally be the translation. So those are the three things that I want to talk about this morning. And I've got three questions that go along with it. I've got a lot of questions I want to throw out this morning. But there are three questions that go along with these three statements that I want you to think about as we have this conversation. And they're these. Number one, what are the things that get lost in translation that have to do with our faith? Number two, what are the things that might be found in translation as we live out our faith? And then number three, what are the things that we need to do as the church to be the translation to the people around us? There are little fill-in-the-blanks on your sermon notes if you want to write down those little statements and think about them as we go along this morning. Back to this passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 2, as I was doing research this week on this passage, as I often do, and I learned a new word, and I love words. Those of you that know me know that I love words and learning new words, and so I learned a new word this week that I want to share with you, and you can use to impress your friends. It's a word called xenolalia. Why don't you say that with me? Ready? Xenolalia. Isn't that an impressive word? Let me tell you what xenolalia means. There are a couple of words that are like this word that I know, but I'd never heard this word before. On the news, I've heard too often this word xenophobia. Have you ever heard this word? What xenophobia basically means is, quote, the fear of strangers or foreigners, or according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, of anything that is strange or foreign, end quote. There's another word in seminary that I learned. It's the word glossolalia. You may have heard that word before. That's the word in the New Testament for the gift of speaking in tongues, right? And that's a totally different topic for a different day. But xenolalia is something altogether different. Xenolalia, the definition of xenolalia is this: the miracle of speaking in foreign tongues or languages. In other words, it's the miraculous ability to speak the language of someone from a country or a culture or a context that is not your own. Okay? Xenolalia. So here's why this is important for us as the church today. Did you know that that we as Christians have our own language? I bet you didn't know that there's a website called the Dictionary of Christianese.com. And on the homepage of this website, it gives this definition. It says, Christianese is the casual, informal language that everyday Christians use when they're talking with one another about their faith. And up until now, this is, the purpose of the website. Up until now, the only way to learn what they mean has been by asking other Christians to explain them. So here's a question for us this morning on Pentecost Sunday. Is it possible that we as the church are speaking a language that the people around us don't understand? You know, I think one of the most painful truths of Christianity in the 21st century is what I said earlier. Number one, that the power of the gospel is frequently lost in translation because the church is often seen as irrelevant and intolerant. Not just by what we say, but what we do. See, that's why Pentecost matters so much. It matters as much now in the 21st century as it did then in the first century. But you see, we as 21st century Westerners living in this culture of entertainment, even in the church, we often get caught up in the sights and the sounds of this story, and we miss what I believe is the true miracle of Acts chapter 2. You see, the miracle wasn't the tongues of fire or the sounds of the mighty rushing windstorm. The miracle was this, that people heard the wonderful things that God had done in a language that they could understand. Now, make no mistake, the true power of Pentecost is the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit enabled these disciples to relate to this crowd in a language that they could receive. The tongues of fire and the mighty windstorm, it drew a crowd. But then it was the xenolalia, enabled by the Holy Spirit, that connected the disciples to the crowd. And it got them asking questions. It was the Holy Spirit that sparked these disciples to speak. These disciples that had been living in fear behind closed doors, not knowing what to do next. The Holy Spirit came and enabled them to speak, to stand up with boldness and tell about the wonderful things that God had done. But it was the xenolalia that sparked these meaningful conversations that led to the people to ask the disciples questions that eventually led to questions about salvation. Go back to the story. The crowd first asked these seeking questions. They said, "How can this be?" And then that led to questions about significance. What can this mean? And finally, those questions eventually led to the question about salvation. If you go all the way to verse 37, the crowd says, "Brothers, what should we do?" To which Peter responds in verse 38. He says, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." A few more questions for you this morning, for us as the church to think about on Pentecost Sunday. Are we speaking about the wonderful things that God has done and living in such a way that the people around us want to know more? Is the church a place where people can come with their questions? And if so, are we able to wrestle with questions of faith together in a language that we can all understand? I believe that the power of the gospel is frequently lost in translation. I also believe that the power of the gospel is ultimately found in translation. And I believe that the purpose of the church is to relationally be the translation to those around us. One more thing from the story that I want to share with you. Something I noticed this week, maybe you did too. Did you notice the perspective of the crowd in this story? It completely changed throughout the course of the conversation. It begins in verse 7 with this us and them mentality. The people say, those people, these people all are all from Galilee, and here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, all those words that Krislyn did such a great job pronouncing earlier when she read the scripture. It's us and them. But by the end of the story, verse 37, the crowd leans in and says, brothers, what shall we do? You see what happened? There was this connection that was found in the translation, in the xenolalia. It drew them together. Brothers, what should we do? I believe that it's this kind of personal connection through conversation that sparked the birth of the church in the first century. And I believe that it's this kind of personal connection through conversation that will spark a rebirth in the church in the 21st century. If we're able to live into this identity and this purpose that God has given us as God's people in the world. So today, on this Pentecost Sunday, on what many people call the birthday of the church, I believe that we need to hear these words from Acts chapter 2 as a call to action. I believe that the message for us as the church is for us as the church to be the message. Let me say that one more time. I believe that the message for us today as the church is for us, the church, today to be the message through our lives, through our relationships, the gospel might be found in translation, that the wonderful things that God has done might be told in and through our lives, not just with our words, but with our actions. You know, we can talk about our faith all day, but if it doesn't translate into our lives and into our life together as a church, then we are in danger of being what our founder, the founder of Methodism, John Wesley, feared most. In one of his most famous sermons, he said, I am not afraid that the people called Methodists should ever cease to exist, either in Europe or in America. But I am afraid lest they should exist as a dead sect, having the form of religion without the power. See, that's what Pentecost is all about. The power that we have as Christians and as the church is the power of the Holy Spirit, which God has given us. God has given us everything that we need for life and life together so that our lives might speak life to those around us in a language that they can understand. But in order to do that, any xenophobia that exists, any fear of things and people that are not like us, needs to be lost in translation. And our God-given xenolalia, our ability to speak the language of those who are not like us, needs to once again be found in translation. And so we as the church should be praying together that God would perform this miracle anew, not in our time and in our context. Maybe not in the same way, but with the same power. That the Spirit of the living God would once again give us the ability to speak the language of those who are not like us, so that we might tell of the wonderful things that God has done for us and in us and through us. In a language that those around us can understand. And let me just say this. That language is not English. It's not Spanish. It's not Chinese. It's not Arabic, Hebrew, Greek, the language that translates into all cultures, all places, at all times, the language that transcends all of our differences and all of our dividing lines is the language that, if you watched the royal wedding yesterday, Bishop Michael Curry was talking about, the language of love. I watched a recording of it yesterday afternoon. I didn't get up early. He talked about the language of love, the dream of what if we lived life in the way of love. It's a language that everyone can understand. And for us as Christians, it's the love of God spoken through the Word of God, lived out by the people of God. In that sense, it's what an author named Lee Ramsey said. He says, Pentecost verifies Christmas. All wrapped up in human form, God comes to us in our very own bodies. God speaks our very own language. Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, is God's translation of love to humanity. And just as Jesus was God's translation of love to humanity, we as the church, as the body of Christ in the world, we are God's translation of love in community. I love what another author, Christine Saldine, says. She says, Pentecost sums up the gospel with simplicity and audacity. Jesus Christ offers salvation to all, and the church exists to proclaim it. So, here's another question. What would happen if the people in our community had this to say about our church? And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things that God has done. You know, for some in our congregation, our church's focus on living a better story has been an opportunity for them to tell about the wonderful things that God has done and is doing in a language that is all their own. For some folks, the good news of God's love was translated in this very room on this past Wednesday night. Through a daddy-daughter dance. There were people that came from all over our community to be a part of that. People from that were members of our church, not members of our church, people that I had never seen at our church, that came together because they had this commonality of being a daddy of a daughter. And the money raised from that event, Over $1,000, I believe, was given to a ministry that's beginning here in town for teenage moms that need to experience the love of God translated to them in a very tangible way. For Sally Millsap and others in our church, the good news of God's love is being translated through sitting down and having a conversation and reading with children through Project Transformation. God's love is being spoken to those children without ever having to say a word about who Jesus is. For many of us, it's through personal conversations and personal interactions where relationships are formed and relationships are transformed by the love of God. So my last question I want to leave with you today is this. What could it look like for you? What could it look like for us? If these statements are true, that the power of the gospel is frequently lost in translation, that the power of the gospel is ultimately found in translation, and that the purpose of the church is to be the translation, then how can we, as the church, here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, as disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him, how can we be the translation of the gospel to the people around us? How can the wonderful things that God has done be translated in and through our lives and our relationships in a way that the people around us can hear it and understand it? So with that in mind today, I just want to close my time with you with a prayer. And I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. The words come from an old hymn. It used to be in the United Methodist Hymnal. It was written by a congregational pastor in the 1800s by the name of Henry Tweedy. And the title of this hymn is, O Spirit of the living God. Would you pray this prayer with me? The words are going to be on the screen. O Spirit of the living God, thou light and fire divine, descend upon thy church once more and make it truly thine. Burn winged fire, inspire our lips with flaming love and zeal to preach to all thy great good news, God's glorious common weal. Teach us to utter living words of truth which all may hear, the language we all understand when love speaks loud and clear. The language we all understand when love speaks loud and clear. May it be so in our lives and in our church. Amen.